The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the new standard in pet food, the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. Crazy Water, infused by Mother Nature, not some random factory. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorne Research. Visit our dispensary at OneLifeRadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the OneLifeRadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia and KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. And it's also Furry Friday. Happy Furbulous Friday, everyone, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. How you doing, Junior?
I'm doing good. I finally made it in. I had a little trouble with my tires this morning. I had to put some air in it, so I'm running a little behind. But
yeah, it happens, right?
Yeah, caught my breath. I'm all good. I'm ready to get this Friday going.
I know. You know, it's funny. The storm that rolled through this morning is you know, one of the reasons that I love doing this show, because, you know, I love animals so much, and that's the thing that keeps me going on the show, and that's why Furbulous Fridays are so important to me. We have an incredible lineup today. We want to protect the pets. There's a lot of cold weather blowing through all across the nation, and our pets and all the animals out there need our protection and our love and our help, and that is why I do this. So it really is. It's like the main reason I keep going, because I care so much about that. And I care about being kind. I do. And we've got a great lineup today. We've got Maura Davies here in just a second. She's the vice president for marketing and communications at the SPCA of Texas. Mark Peralta is coming up too. He is the chief program officer for Best Friends Animal Society. And Brad Aronson. He is an incredible author, entrepreneur, tech startup investor and mentor. And he is the author of the book Humankind. He's back, changing the world one small act at a time, and that's what we're doing today.
That is a full show.
I know, right? I gotta watch the clock.
Yeah,
I gotta
let's
keep
get
it
going.
All right, so Maura Davies, let's go here. How you doing today, sister?
Doing great. Loving the weather shift. Woohoo!
I know, right? But I have to tell you, that cold wind blowing through, the first thing, and I know you too, the first thing I think about is all the animals out there on the street and the people too that are out there suffering in this harsh weather. So, you know, and you'll think this is extremely funny because today we're talking about dangerous dog treats, okay? So, and Junior, I don't know if you know this. Do you know what a bully stick is?
No.
Would you like to tell him, Maura?
it's a type of dog treat, and it's like long. It's not like a billy club. It's very different, but it's like it's made out of animal parts. And
okay,
she's so sweet she can't say it. It's a cow penis.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to believe this. So I had to run to CVS this morning. I had to go and get paper for the printer. So I had my show notes and stuff. I'm like, and I was so brutal, the weather. And I was thinking of my animals. Well, I took Love with me because the dog, he just loves to go in the car. And so I threw him in the Subaru and I drove over to CVS, and he apparently had one of the bully sticks in his mouth, and I didn't know it. And he took it in the car with him. So I go get my stuff. I come back out and I'm like, what's going on? He was choking on something, and he dropped he dropped the bully stick right into my cup of coffee, and it was all it was all goobery and gross, and it was, you couldn't even tell what it was, and it must have. Anyway.
Yeah. That's a good start to a Friday.
Yeah, it was gross. The coffee went everywhere. It was just disgusting. So,
he was enjoying it, though.
But he enjoyed it. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, some treats. Now, bully sticks are pretty safe, but some are not. So that's our topic today, is dangerous dog treats. So, you know, what do we need to know about dog treats, Maura?
Well, there's a few things. Dogs love them. There's a ton out there, but you need to be discerning. It's important to be aware. I mean, the first one, just to launch right into it, be really careful of treats made in China. Not all China-made treats are harmful, but if you see made in China, look for the label. You should scrutinize what is in that treat. So U.S. Food and Drug Administration has linked some jerky pet treats made in China to a severe condition called the Fanconi syndrome, FLS, which could result in fatal kidney failure.
Whoa.
So most reputable stores do not care, and online stores included, do not carry these products, but be aware. So that's a big one.
Wow. Thank you, China. that's really crazy. I'll look at the bag because I don't know where mine come from.
Yeah.
You know, I give my dogs the bully sticks, and it's so gross, but I give them the cow ears because, you know, I mean, it's better than they're there. You know, I can't stop meat production. I wish I could, to some degree, at least make it humane. And so those are what I give to my dog. I order them every 2 weeks. I get them from Chewy's, and, you know, those are the extra treats, but are they pretty safe too, the cow ones? And I don't even know if those cows come from China or where they come from.
Well, I mean, that's another one of the points here I definitely want to make is you need to be aware of the actual animal parts and bones. A lot of people will give uncooked parts. You got to make sure that these are cooked parts and that they're appropriate. So like the bones of fowl, poultry, chicken, turkeys, et cetera, that's always a no-no, whether it's cooked or whether it's raw. It's just a no-no because the bones can splinter and choke your pet, kill your pet, cause gastric torsion, all kinds of horrific stuff. Just don't. And then cooked bones, beef bones can be fine. Pig's ears, it's up to your pet. It's up to, you know, definitely work with your veterinarian. They can upset some animal stomachs. Always, you know, give in moderation. But the danger about raw bones is the potential contamination of Listeria, E. coli, and Salmonella.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
that can also cause awful things. And make sure any bone, if it's brittle, that can just tear up your pet and cause death. So just don't even go there.
Never give them poultry bones. We've got Thanksgiving coming up. We'll cover it again in the upcoming weeks, but it's something we cover every year here on One Life Radio.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever give them chicken bones. I remember in the early days of Wingstop, that was one of the things that, you know, we were really adamant about putting on the chicken wing containers to go, is do not give chicken bones to your pets. I know that they no longer do it, but we did it for a long time. And because it is important.
I love that you did that.
Yeah. It was my idea.
Love it. Yay. Thank you for pet. Don't want the bones. If they're too hard, it can actually break your pet's teeth, which can cause pain and other health issues as well.
Yeah. But rawhide treats are especially bad for pets. And in fact, Marie had a little incident with her sweet little pork chop. I just loved her little dog so much, where he was being babysat by somebody. They gave him a rawhide, and then she lost her appetite, and she had digestive issues for like 48 hours. Finally, it passed, you know, but they are very dangerous, aren't they?
They absolutely can be, you know, and it's the hard part is you don't know if your pet is going to have a hard time like that. I mean, many times they won't, and so that's why this can be a little bit controversial. But it's important to understand that rawhide is a byproduct of the leather industry, and it's a discarded second layer of animal skin. There's very little nutritional value. This is a part that is used because it's very cheap to obtain and to make. And so the thing that you need to remember there is, whether or not your dog like just has this big drive to chew, most dogs will inevitably break off little parts of the treat. Like they'll get it however and as far into their mouth as they can and gum it up, and it gets all icky. But if that whole piece breaks off, it can cause choking or intestinal blockage or gastric torsion, which all can significantly injure your dog, lead to long-term issues, cause death, sort of the whole range of bad stuff. And even before a dog can chew, the processing treatment can use, some may not, but it can use really toxic chemicals like formaldehyde, bleach, glue, stuff like that.
So artificial colorings. Careful. Well, artificial colorings that have been banned in Europe that we still use here, they make them all different colors, especially around Christmas time. There's lots of red, you know, red dye number 40, which I suspect, based on everything that I've read, that that's why a lot of dogs have so many allergies. It's from the treats that they get with, like, the red dye number 40, because it can cause severe allergic reaction, all kinds of rashes and things like that. So you really should not give them to your children. Anything with red dye number 40 or blue or yellow or any of those, just read the label just like you would for your children and don't give it to your pet. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Red number 40, or it's also called E129, Allura Red. And that's not the only chemical. There are others, too, you got to be careful of.
Yeah. What, like what?
I mean, there's some that cause cancer, including red number 40. And another one of those is BHA or E320. I don't know if I'm going to get the name right. It's a chemical antioxidant called butylated hydroxyanisole.
Good
and
job.
It's easier to say. Woohoo! I did it. BHA. So that is a preservative that's used in cosmetics. And luckily, international regulations restrict that chemical's use, but it is still legal to use it in the U.S., but it's listed as a carcinogenic substance. So read your labels.
Okay, and what about sugar? Around the holidays, a lot of people think it's okay to just give their dog a cookie. What should we be giving our pets? Can we make? It's always probably good to make some homemade biscuits, right?
Absolutely, and those are my favorite kinds. Yeah, the xylitol we talked about before, sorbitol, are dangerous, and sugar can make your pet fat, too. So just saying. I mean, and bring on diabetes. But the best kind of treats, you can bake stuff. Look at those labels. Talk to your veterinarian. There's so much great stuff out there for every type of pet, whether it's a chewer or just a pet that loves to gulp them down. Make sure you're helping your canine or feline friend out by giving them the right treat that won't harm them.
Yeah, and remember, it's getting cold outside, so bring your pets in. Make sure they have a good doghouse if you have to leave for a couple of hours. Just take care of them. Make sure they've got lots of food and water. This winter is going to be brutal, so we want to, you know, set the stage right now that we all take care, better care of our animals and give them all the love. Give them all the love that they can handle.
Yes, right, and spay and neuter those critters. Absolutely. Spay and neuter, too.
All right. Thanks so much, Maura Davies. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you later, alligator.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Stay tuned. We've got a great show continuing on. It's Furbulous Friday, brought to you by Castor and Pollux.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Oh, that's one of of my all-time favorite dance songs, Junior. Thank you so much. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in sunny Southern California. Well, it might not be sunny today, but but they're going to get the show, and it's always great to do the show with us.
We're sunny.
We're
your sunshine.
Sunny attitude,
yeah,
right?
That's it.
There you go. I love it. It's so great working with you, Junior. It is. And we've got Mark Peralta on the line. I love this guy, too. He's been on the show several times now over the last couple of years. He is the chief program officer for Best Friends Animal Society. And if you don't know what Best Friends is, it is a leading national animal welfare organization dedicated to ending the killing of dogs and cats in America's shelters. In addition to running life-saving programs in partnership with nearly 3,000 animal welfare groups, Best Friends has regional centers across the country and operate the nation's largest no-kill sanctuary for companion animals. Prior to joining Best Friends, Mark served as vice president and chief operating officer, as well as interim CEO for the Pennsylvania Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Their website is bestfriends.org. Always a pleasure. Mark Peralta, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be on. How are you, Bernadette?
I'm great. And Friday's one of my favorite days for a lot of reasons, and mostly because of pets. And we get to talk about pets and how to help them and animals worldwide. We've got Brad Aronson coming on at the half, talking about, favorite stories from his book, Humankind, which is a wonderful book about just being a good human being. And that includes adopting animals and helping to take care of them, right, across this great nation of ours.
That's so awesome. So what's going on? What can we talk about this week, Bernadette?
I want to
talk
about
Pitbull Awareness Month.
Yeah, it's Pitbull Awareness Month. So that's, and I just adopted a Pitbull, actually two Pitbull mixes off of the street during the coronavirus. One is named Charlie, one is named Love, and they're fabulous dogs. So let's talk about what is a Pitbull and where did that name come from?
You know, it's a good question. And Pitbull's really not actually a dog breed. It's usually, kind of an umbrella term for muscular, large-headed dogs. American Pitbull Terrier is a breed. Staffordshire Terriers usually fall into that. So it's just become kind of a frame of reference for a certain type and look of a dog that is, basically a mainstream term that we all and most people in America now will see a dog and reference a Pitbull based on a specific feature of a dog. But it's not really an actual dog breed Pitbull.
Oh, yeah. And people are they're on high alert for it, too. Because I had already, I found Charlie and Love, I already had 9 dogs. So I was like, I got to find a home for these guys because they were big dogs, too. And I already have, Tom and Willie, which are big dogs. And I have Mick, which is a big dog. They're all male. So, from having as many pets as you do as well, that can be problematic. But the first thing people would say to me is like, oh, no. He looks like he's got Pitbull in them, and they would shy away. And it's really, there's so many misconceptions. Let's talk about the misconceptions about the breed.
Well, I think first and foremost, there's a misconception that they're not like normal dogs. I think that's the first important thing. I've heard things from their jaws locked, their jaws are stronger. And factually, that stuff is nonsense. There are dogs. They're big dogs. They have muscles. They're powerful dogs. But that it doesn't make them a breed all to their own. The good and the bad of seeing and having more awareness that animals are used for fighting, whether they're roosters or dogs and pit bulls in particular, or pit bull type dogs in particular, it really tends to make people afraid, of these animals. Mm-hmm. They are used and sometimes trained. They're very trainable dogs, so they can be trained to do amazing things. They're amazingly great and loyal animals, just like dogs are in general. But, they obey their masters and they obey their owners. And sometimes you have people that tend to like those dogs because of the way that they look, and it kind of brings about a little bit of machismo or protection or those kind of things. And it's really hurt the image of that dog, especially over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, there's a lot of that. I think of dog fighting, okay? And so, you know, the famous story with Michael Vick. You know, so many people associate pit bulls with dog fighting. How prevalent is dog fighting in the U.S.? Have the numbers gone down, or is it still prevalent?
You know, prevalent is it's almost relative. There's definitely dog fighting, and dog fighting that's happening in urban areas as well as rural areas in the country. But I think the important thing for people to focus on is even though that there is those kind of things, there's agencies that fight dog fighting and cruelty, and thank you for that. You know, you have 90 million pets, you know, roughly 90 million dogs that are being owned, and a lion, far majority of those animals are loved and cared for, and that includes a huge subset of those dogs being what would be labeled as pit bull type dogs. And even though, yes, they are generally more associated with dog fighting and are bred often to be dog fighting dogs, majority of those dogs do not fall in that category, and are mostly loved and becoming more and more a prominent fixture in family homes across the United States.
Mm-hmm. And can a pit bull be rehabilitated and rehomed after living in a dog fighting environment?
Definitely. You know, just like any kind of trauma for a human, for a dog, I mean, the Michael Vick dogs and obviously Best Friends and my organization and most of us, that many people that are aware of Best Friends, it started with the Victory dogs, which came from, you know, Bad News Kennels and Michael Vick and that whole area. And those were the, you know, two dozen or so dogs that were deemed to be the most dangerous, couldn't go to homes. And we showed, you know, the ones that we were able to release, some of them, a handful of them are court ordered to always stay in our care.
Yeah.
Because of the level of trauma that they'd faced. All of them were able to be around people, be around other dogs. And it was constant for a long time for people to think they couldn't be rehabilitated, but they can. And oftentimes, you know, it depends. Real true dog fighting and people knowing what they're doing. There's a lot of guys in their backyards that like to get their dogs into fights, and that's terrible. That's a lot different than what we're talking about in things like Bad News Kennels, which is a lot more rare.
Well, yeah, and the guy, I don't remember the name of the author that wrote the book about the Michael Vick dogs, the pit bulls that were used for dog fighting. But we actually had him on the show. Like, it was probably 7 years ago,
that's
great. I remember it. Yeah, and I was at the forefront of that fight, along with PETA, contributing heavily to make sure that he didn't get back into the NFL, because I just really felt like we needed to bring attention to that issue. It's so violent. It's so bad for everyone involved in it. There's a lot of drugs where there's dog fighting too, and just bad, violent behavior. But you know, I have to say, Michael Vick has turned himself around on this issue, and now he actually goes out and educates young people about staying away from dog fighting and how violent it is, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't he?
He definitely does, and you're absolutely right. You know, in the Pennsylvania SPCA, we did performance, and that's where I was before Best Friends, and we were headquartered in Philadelphia, and we were there. I was actually there when Michael Vick was reinstated and brought back to the NFL with the Eagles. And it's true what you said, especially it's about money usually and gambling and those kind of things. So it's usually just the tip of the iceberg in, you know, large scale, you know, obviously breeding, illegal breeding practices, but it usually goes into drugs, interstate gambling, those kind of things that are always associated with dog fighting. So you're right. It's a criminal behavior that, you know, generally is not isolated to just dog fighting for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, many apartment communities forbid renters from having a pit bull. Do you think that's fair?
I absolutely don't think it's fair. I think just, you know, I'm Native American. So, you know, that will tell you a little bit about, you know, my upbringing, things that maybe I take away. But I'm an individual, and it's not dissimilar with dogs. You know, dogs can be bred for certain specifics. But again, pit bull's not a breed. It usually makes up 6 or 7 different breeds that are just, you know, tend to be a little bit more boxy, bigger. But dogs really do have, even though they may have general characteristics as a breed, they're all different. They're individual dogs. So I think when you discriminate against a breed, it's unfortunate, because it's basically a really unfortunate generalization that every dog that fits into this breed that actually isn't even a breed is a dangerous dog. And there's millions upon millions of examples of why that's not true.
Oh, yeah. I've been bit 3 times, and all three times by a Chihuahua. and a Chihuahua mix, you know? Chihuahuas are, it's just because they're little, they're not intimidating really. But yeah, I'm very careful. I've got the scar on my face, Mark, to prove it. I told the story.
Me too. I'm with you. Jack Russell Terriers, Chihuahuas, and of course, you know, a pit bull biting is a bigger deal, but a large dog is a bigger deal. And labs bite because there's a lot of labs in the community. Pit bulls, there's a lot of pit bulls in the community. They're dogs. And I think the more that we can get less fearful of this being a different kind of dog, everybody should take caution and be very careful and approach any kind of dog properly. Obviously, the same thing goes with pit bulls, but they weren't bit by, you know, retroactive spiders that make them be able to lock their jaws on you and things like that. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff is just not true.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can we help best friends? You guys, you know, you're trying to save them all. You know, that's kind of your motto. By 2025, you're doing incredible work and having such great progress. How can we help you?
Well, you can get involved with your local shelter or your community. You can certainly get involved with us at Best Friends at bestfriends.org. We are doing a lot of different things with dogs and cats. Across the country, we have a sanctuary as well. But, you know, we really want to see people just get more active and involved with the people that need their help or and pet lovers in their own community. So just reach out to your shelter, volunteer, foster. If you have the ability, donate is really good. A lot of us, including Best Friends, are completely around because of people's donations and the fact that they support the work that we do.
Well, and as a reminder, if you like, I had an auto pay on my Visa, so my Visa got captured by some person.
Oh no!
A fraud. It happens about twice a year, but I always forget, and until for a couple of months that, oh my gosh, I have to, you know, sign back up with Best Friends. So, if you've lost your credit card and you're on an auto pay, be sure to reach back out to whatever organization is that you're giving that auto pay to. Just as a reminder, Mark, always great to have you on the air. Thank you so much for all the work that you guys do at Best Friends.
Thanks to One Life Radio, and thanks to you, Bernadette. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. I'm going to start partying here right after the show.
All
right, everyone. More coming up. Thank you so much, Mark. I've got Brad Aronson. I'm so excited. We're going to be talking about some of his favorite stories from his book, Humankind. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Me not working hard. Yeah, right. Picture that with a Kodak. Or better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a Kodak. Took my life from negative to positive. I just want y'all to know that. And tonight, let's enjoy life. Pitbull, Naya, Neo. That's
tonight.
Right.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
Everyone, are you ready? Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior. We are live broadcasting from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in sunny Southern California on ABC News Talk. Our special guest today is Brad Aronson. He is the author, entrepreneur, tech startup investor, and mentor. He serves on the board of Big Brothers Big Sisters Independence Region as well as HopeWorks in Camden, which is a program providing tech training, jobs, housing, coaching, and support to young people in one of America's poorest cities. And Brad also teaches entrepreneurship to 18 to 25-year-olds through HopeWorks. And Brad is also the author of the book we're talking about today, Humankind, Changing the World, One Small Act at a Time. You can learn more about Brad and read his inspiring, his very inspiring, I might add, blog at bradaronson.com. And that's BRADARONSON.com. Always a pleasure. Welcome back, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on your show again.
Of course. I absolutely love your book. You know, it's an incredible book. We've talked about it before, but right now I think the country just really needs it. You know, last night were the presidential debates, and there's so much unknown and anxiety out there for all of us. So during these stressful times, we really need to find ways to have fun and celebrate more than ever. So you have so many stories in your book about people finding ways to have fun under the most stressful conditions, you know, that some of us can't even imagine. So would you mind sharing a couple of them with us?
I would love to. You know, I think the important thing is to remember that we need to make our own fun sometimes. And it's hard, especially as you mentioned now with what's going on in politics and the divisiveness and COVID lockdown. It's a difficult time, but we can all try to empower ourselves and make our own fun. I'll start by sharing a couple anecdotes from Ronald McDonald Camp. And Ronald McDonald Camp is a one-week overnight camp for kids with cancer and their siblings. And for these kids, taking medicine is not fun because the chemotherapy medicine often makes you feel nauseous or dizzy or fatigued. It makes your hair fall out, which, of course, as a kid is horrifying because you look different than all the other kids.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't, they don't want to take their medicine. And every night, the kids who have to take night meds go up to the wellness center to get their medicine, and the lights are out, and there's this flashing disco ball, and the music is just pumping. You can feel the bass through the floor, and the kids have to dance to get their medicine, and it became fun. Kids were looking forward to going there to get their medicine.
Wow.
And someone said, like, how could it be fun to get your medicine when it makes you feel that way? And it's because the med staff asked, why not?
Well, and what a great idea. What a fantastic idea. Because, you know, they're little children. You know, it's hard for them to understand even what they're feeling. And of course, I've seen it myself, the stress in the parents that have to deal with a child that is sometimes terminally ill. Their days are numbered, and it can be incredibly difficult to get through times like that. And what an incredible idea that was. Who came up with it? Do you know?
Yes. You know what? It was so Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, they staff all volunteers in the Health and Wellness Center. So it's their physicians, their life readiness people, their social workers. They came up with that idea, which was amazing.
Wow, it is. What's another really great story, Audie? What's your? I know you know. You said there was a lot of. Last time you were on, you said there were a lot of stories that didn't make it into the book. Is there one that sticks out in your mind that you really wanted to get in the book, but you had to stop somewhere?
Oh, there's so many great stories. It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to cover one story that I think kind of continues on the path we were going on, which was about how difficult it can be when you have a sick child and what you're going through.
Oh,
and there was this kid, Gabriel, who he had leukemia, and he was cured and he was better. And he's 6 years old now. He's been through his treatment and he's with his mom. And Natasha says, Gabriel, I'm so happy you're healthy and you're better, but November 3rd is always a sad day for me. So please don't take it the wrong way, but I'll be sad because November 3rd is your diagnosis day and it's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Mom, why does it have to be a sad day? And she said, what do you mean? He said, why don't we make it like a Secret Santa day and make it a great day?
Wow.
So to take a step back, when Gabriel was sick, someone had dropped off presents for he and his sister. And there was a card that just said it's from Secret Santa. They had no idea who gave him these gifts. And they hung this card on their fridge and looked at it every single day and talked about it every day.
Wow.
And they decided to become Secret Santas. And they loved going out and delivering gifts to people anonymously. And now Gabriel wanted to try to make this day into a happy day. So Natasha took a video of him, and he basically said, we want to turn my diagnosis day, which is a day of darkness, into a day of light.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could all do something nice today, that would be great. And they emailed it to a dozen family members. And one family member asked Natasha, would you post this online on Facebook so that we could all just message with what we did during the Day of Kindness?
Mm.
And she said, sure. And Gabriel starts to get all excited. Oh, my goodness, maybe tons of people are going to do it. And Natasha says, no, we told 12 family members it's going to be a small group, but every act matters.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
does.
That's not what happened.
Yeah.
This video went viral. Tens of thousands of people see it. It gets to the November 3rd, and the first act of kindness is done in Florida, and then Wisconsin, and then it goes across the U.S., and then it goes global. It reached 56 countries.
I love that story.
And, the next year, it expanded, and it wound up reaching 105 countries. And they asked people, when you do these acts of kindness, please give people a little card explaining that it's Gabriel's Day of Kindness with the Facebook address.
Yeah.
And they started getting all these people messaging in about kind acts people did for them and how much it made a difference. There was one woman who said she hadn't talked to her mom in 10 years. And because of Gabriel's Day of Kindness, she decided she would call her mom. And they reconciled, and her mom met her grandkids for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And there's people who said, like, one woman said, my sister had died and my husband had died recently, and I hadn't smiled in months until someone gave me flowers with Gabriel's Day of Kindness.
Mm. Yeah.
And when you think of
when you think of
the ripple effect, 7 people reached out to Natasha and said they changed their diagnosis day for their children into a day of kindness as well. So now there's 7 other days of kindness that are happening as a result of this.
What a beautiful story.
I love it. And when I asked Natasha, I said, Natasha, is it still a day of darkness? She said, no. And of course, it takes a kid to say, why does this have to be an unhappy day? Why can't we change it? And there's good learning from us there in trying to find ways to make situations that we're not going to be happy about better.
Yeah, changing the world with one small act at a time, right? What a fabulous story. Well, and it's contagious. It really is. Positivity is contagious, just as negativity is. And a kind act like that, I mean, it has a huge ripple effect, which you just described, basically. What an incredible story that is. You know, it's the best way to help yourself, too. Don't you agree that the best way to help yourself, if you're down, is to help someone else?
Yes, there's tons of research out there that one of the best ways you could help yourself is to help other people. And it's because it gives you a purpose. You're now doing something with a purpose. It helps you with perspective. When you help someone else, you realize, I'm not in that bad of a situation.
Yeah.
And when you look at people who are depressed, they're often really focused on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And helping someone else gets you out of focusing on yourself and instead focusing on someone else. And I see this all the time with the kids I work with. When we do projects giving back to the community, they are inspired, they are uplifted. And it's not the reason why we do it. We do it because we want to make a difference. But there's this huge dividend of it making us happier as well.
Well, and there's a lot of scientific evidence out there to show how kindness can really change so many things, including your health and your brain, everything. We're going to talk about it after the break. We're going to go for a quick station identification, and we will be right back with Brad Aronson. He is the author of the book Humankind, Changing the World, One Small Act at a Time. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Little one.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
I have to sing. Oh my gosh, this song brings back such great memories. I'll have to tell a really quick story here, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and I've got Brad Aronson with us. He's a lot of things. He's an amazing man, but he's also the author of the book Humankind, which is what we are starting today, which, by the way, has been endorsed by no less than Deepak Chopra. He says, an elegant, wise book of love and action. I couldn't agree more. Changing the world one small act at a time. But that song, We Are a Family, I'll tell the story real quick. The last time that my sisters and I might start crying. I might start crying here, Brad and Junior, so hold on. The last time we were all together, and it was when my parents, I'm going to cry. And they were both alive, and I should have never started. But we were all in the car together, and I have such a fond memory of us all being together and singing that song, We Are a Family. I got all my sisters with me because it was me and my four sisters, and I haven't seen them in a really long time.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about music, you know? It can just bring back those memories and those feelings, and it's
gosh,
awesome.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. Yeah, I got to pull myself together
you
here.
Got
but,
it.
You know, are you there, Brad?
I am. Those memories are the best.
Oh, they are. But, you know, so many people right now are out of work and they are really, truly struggling to pay their bills. And I think of them all the time. I really do. And so especially those in the restaurant industry with my past, you know, career being in the restaurant industry. Some of my dearest friends are in the restaurant industry and in the arts. And so what ways have people reached out to help one another? Do you have any great stories?
So I have a few ideas of things that we might be able to do to help. I'd start by saying something I learned when our family was going through a really difficult time is that just getting a note from someone saying, I just want to let you know I'm thinking about you, it makes a ton of difference.
Oh,
when
yeah.
you're in that state of high emotions and you're feeling bad, just knowing that someone sees you makes all the difference. And I heard that from the hundreds of people I talked to when I was putting together this book as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is. It really is. It's so important now more than ever that kindness be at the forefront of our hearts and our minds. And so for yourself, though, you know, what makes an act of kindness so powerful for the person, you know, executing the kindness or giving the kindness?
So what makes it so powerful is what we talked about earlier, where it just helps us, right? So we're going to feel better. We're going to live longer, according to research. We're going to be happier. You know, that's one aspect. Then there's the fact that what better use of our time than helping someone else? And the fact that this act of kindness, not only can it help someone for a day, or even if it makes a few hours better for them, it could have this ripple effect where, you know, for example, there's Rita Scavone, who decided she just saw all these hungry people and it bothered her. So she started making one extra portion of dinner every night and giving it to someone in need. And that would have been enough. Mm-hmm. But people saw what she was doing and they wanted to join her. And now it's a nonprofit organization that served 16 million meals.
Wow.
And there's this single conversation that an adult had with Luis Oliveira when he was in high school, and that conversation changed Luis's entire life. It was 10 minutes. It's the reason why Luis today is in a position where he helps hundreds of kids every year.
Oh, I love that story. I remember it. Yeah. I remember it from the book. It's a beautiful, beautiful story.
You have a great memory.
I love your book. I really do. And I think it's so important for all the things that you're saying, you know, the reasons that you're talking about. Share another story. Make us feel really good. You've got about 4 minutes.
All right. I'll share this story about a boy named Jimmy. So when Jimmy was in third grade, he couldn't tie his shoes, and it really bothered him. His mom would tie his shoes in a jumble of knots so that hopefully they wouldn't come untied at school. But inevitably, they would. And his teacher, Mr. Clarkson, was really nice about it. He would tie his shoes, act like it was nothing. But it bothered Jimmy because he wasn't like all the other kids. He had only one hand. He had a prosthetic hand, and he was very self-conscious. Some girl in his class even cried the first time she saw it because she thought it looked so scary. One day, it was tough. And one day Jim comes into school and Mr. Clarkson says, Jim, I figured it out. And Jim had no idea what he was talking about. He said, what'd you figure out? And Mr. Clarkson said, I figured out how you could tie your shoes. He put on a movie, so the rest of the class was distracted. He took Jim into the hall and taught him how to tie his shoes with one hand.
Wow.
And Jim, who's now in his 50s, says that that was the defining moment in his life. It was a defining moment because it made him see that he could be what he wanted to be if he put the time and effort into it. And he wanted to be a professional baseball player. And he practiced, and he wound up pitching for our Olympic team when they won a gold medal. And then from there, he became a pro. He played with the Yankees and other teams. He pitched a no-hitter, which is a huge deal in baseball. And he got, every week, he got hundreds of letters from kids and their parents about looking for encouragement for their kids who had disabilities. And kids with physical disabilities and their parents would show up to his games. And Jim said he took the time to write back to every single one of them and to talk to every single one of them because he knew how far a little bit of encouragement could go. And then he volunteers and raises money for these groups. And he speaks at their conventions to inspire these parents and kids. And one of the kids who was inspired was Nick Newell. Nick Newell's grandparents took Nick to a Yankees game when Nick was 6 years old so that Nick could meet Jim. And Jim inspired him. And Nick said, that's the first person I met who had one hand. And I realized I could do what I wanted to do. Nick became a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And he said people started showing up at his matches when he became a champion. So he was a champion fighter. Uh-huh. People would show up to the matches to ask advice about what they should do for their kids who had disabilities.
Oh, wow.
And he said because of what Jim did for him, he talked to every single person. And he goes to these giant meetings to inspire these children and inspire their parents and give back. And he told me he does it because Jim Abbott took the time to talk to him so he could take the time to help other people. And he said he even teaches these kids how to tie their shoes with one hand.
Wow, what a beautiful way to end the week, to close the week and open the weekend with all of that love and just beautiful, beautiful stories, Brad, that you put in your book, Humankind. Thank you so much. What a pleasure it's been. Just like before, my heart is so lifted, and I know everyone out there, I'm going to start crying again, their hearts are lifted too. Thank you so much, Brad Aronson. He is the author of Humankind. Take care and have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And I know you live the message of this book. Have a great
weekend. You too. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. I really enjoyed doing it today. Thank you so much for listening. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Be humankind.